be good when Mark don't need these anymore. One way or another, he's not going to need these much longer. Amen? Did you see the post on Facebook this morning? Y'all need to go look out the back door when you get a chance. All them big round hay bales are just beautiful sights. You know, I think that's so cool. It looks like the harvest, don't it? It is the harvest. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, just sort out my own opinions and stuff that really doesn't need to be said and doesn't matter. Forgive me when I sometimes go my own way, Lord. I don't ever mean to. But, Lord, I pray you'd feed your sheep. Feed them with good food. Lord, we need to get strong. We need to grow. Holy Spirit, be our teacher. Teach us, lead us into all righteousness, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Y'all sing with me. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Come on. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Stand up again. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. One more time. Our God is an awesome God. You reign from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. If you believe that, give him praise. He is worthy. He is worthy. Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Y'all can sit down. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about appointed. Appointed. You know, has anybody got a definition of the word appointed? Just designated, that's good. To be appointed, chosen, right? Given authority to do a task. Yeah, that's all good. That all fits. So, do you know, first of all, that you are appointed? You got to start with that, man. You can't go nowhere if you don't know you're appointed, Si. You know? When you was in the Navy, you were appointed to do what? What was your job? Aircraft launching and recovery. So in other words, if you launched it wrong, you had to recover it, right? No. But that was your job. That was your duty, right? Greg, what's your appointed job at Aldi's? Be a manager. Oh, it's way more than that, isn't it? You unload trucks. You've got a lot to do. What about you, Chuck? What's yours appointed? Lead technician. So you lead people into technical things, right? Praise the Lord. What about you? Package handler. You know what you're supposed to do when you go in there every night, don't you? You know it changes. I mean, depending on your job, your duty, yours probably changes when something breaks down. But, Fred, what did you do way back before you got retired and didn't do nothing anymore? What's that? Nothing? I know you used to have a dairy farm, didn't you? Didn't he? So he milked cows at one time. Praise the Lord. He worked in real estate. Brother? IT project supervisor at UPS, competing company with FedEx, right? But you know what your duties are, and they may change some, but I mean, just to make a point, you know what your duties are if you're appointed, right? Did you know, like work, what you're appointed to do? You're appointed to go to yard sales on Saturday. No, she does a lot, but then she turns it around and makes big dollars out of it. Big dollars. But she does. I mean, God has gifted. It's amazing. But, you know, God gifts people to do different things, and sometimes they get in jobs that aren't in their gifting, and they're not happy, but God has appointed us. Would you say that's true? And it's just like a job you get into that you're not appointed to do, you're not happy with it, right? Or you're not doing what you're appointed to do, it gets, the fun's gone out of it, right? I loved work, man. I mean, I was ready to get out of there because I knew God had other things for me, but I loved my job. Being a lineman, it was a great job. You know, never a dull moment, something new every day. It was fun. But praise God, I don't have to go there Monday. I'm glad it's over. But do you know that you're divinely appointed? Do you know that? Not everybody knows that in the house of God. In fact, I would say, I was thinking this morning, most people do not know they're divinely appointed. They just think, you know, and I think the church in America has been like, well, you get saved, you try to live a good life, and hopefully you get to go to heaven someday, but, you know, all the time in between is just hanging out in church once a week and twice maybe, three times maybe, but that's the least of God's appointment for you. That is, he does appoint us to worship together. He does appoint us to different duties. You have everybody in here has got an appointed birthday, right? Now, sometimes people appoint the birthday now, parents do, but not really. I think even at that, God has an appointed time for everybody to be physically born, wouldn't you? Alexis, what's your birthday? December 1st, 1997. Wow. What time? 2 in the afternoon. Wow. So that's when your destiny began here on earth. Isn't that incredible? Did you ever think about your birthday? Did you ever think, wow, I was born October 13th, 1953, 6:35 in the morning. And I'm sure my mom was very happy, probably at least for a little bit. And then she had to endure me for a while before God got a hold of me. But there's an appointed birthday. You cannot determine your birthday. You cannot. You didn't ask to be brought into the world, did you? But you were appointed to be brought into the world. You were appointed to be born. And sometimes people think they weren't appointed to be born because maybe their parents don't want them or whatever the circumstance is. But God wanted you and God appointed you to be born into this world because he had a reason for you. He wanted to be your father. He wanted to take care of you and love you and pull you out of the pit, right? Amen. You have an appointed death day. You know, people that's already got tombstones. How many of y'all got a tombstone sitting somewhere with your name on it with no dates, a birth date? You see them all, y'all haven't done that yet. You see them all the time. You go in a cemetery, be like, Mark S. Avery, born October 13th, 1953. Death? Question mark. When you see that, though, it's like, whoa. I mean, I've seen friends at the cemetery. I've seen their their birthday on the stone, I'm thinking, man, that kind of brings it down to someday there's going to be a date on there. But there's an appointed day of your checkout. But the thing about that is you can speed up your day of death. You can do that. You can sow and sow and sow into the flesh, and you can reap early death. There's a lot of things you can do to help reap early death. You can smoke cigarettes. Now, it might seemingly my dad, he was almost 90 years old, and he started smoking when he was 11 years old. So evidently, he could have lived 140. But a lot of people, it damages them. It takes years off their life. But, you know, we could get on that. But, you know, how many of us, you know, this is just as much. And you can, and I'm not picking on nobody's sins. Not at all. I'm just saying God has got a destiny for you, and it's a good one. And he's got a appointed time for you, and he wants you to fit into that time. But if you're not listening to him and you're not trying to follow his precepts, then you can short circuit what your destiny is, okay? Because I bet everybody in here has got a prophetic word from somebody, haven't you? Thus saith, I'm not getting on it, okay? But thus saith the Lord, you will preach to the nations, you will da 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 da. How many people out there in Greenville Cemetery and Palmyra Cemetery had a word from God that never happened? Now, is God a liar?
No.
No, but you choose the past, you choose your own destiny. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't have to be there to make it happen. I am not saying that at all. It can't happen without God, but God will not allow it to happen without you. And this is to encourage you to push in and get what, because, man, I'm thinking, you know, I'm on the last lap, dude. This is for me. I'm getting down to, me and Donna was talking one day, We're getting down to buying last things. Yeah. We'll never have to buy this again. Yeah. Whoa! That's a good thing, but that's not a good thing. No, it is a good thing, because there's nothing better than death for a believer, is there? Except rapture. That's why I told Donna, we're not buying no cemetery. I'm not wasting my money on a cemetery plot, because I don't plan on dying. But if I should, I think my children or my son should have to deal with it and weep and have a hassle. Why not? You know, he's alive. He can handle it. They try to put a guilt trip on you, man. Oh, your family will have to deal with all this stuff. It's like, so? I had to deal with it. I'm just teasing y'all. Don't look at me like that. You think I'm serious? I'm just teasing you. You can speed up your death. You can speed it up. You can slow it down. There's a lot of things you can do. But the Word of God, you know, it's Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed for a man once to die. So everybody has a divine appointment of death, right? Yeah. So I'm sure I've milked that one out enough, but. So if that's true, we all have a limited amount of time to live this life well. I said, live this life well. Was a church, I saw a slogan on it. I thought it was pretty, it said something like love well. Did anybody, I can't remember it, I'm going to butcher it, but. The choice you make every day will determine your destiny and your place in eternity. So we've got a limited time to make happen what God wants to happen in our life, right? And it's very finite. I remember that from some math class. Very finite. That means there's an end. But we're getting ready to go from this place of a finite choices, and every choice we, if you think about it, if you really put it in perspective, every choice you make will help determine your destiny. Isn't that true? So we've got a limited amount of time, and me and Donna being elderly, we've got a short amount of time. We've got a short amount of time to make happen what God wants to happen in our life. We've got a limited time to serve God. So from that, we go into an unlimited time of being in His presence. So it was like, to me, Jacob and Esau. I like, man, you know what? Esau traded his birthright. He traded his destiny. And you laugh at this because you think it's funny. He traded that for what? A stinking bowl of soup. And you think, what an idiot. But yet, we trade our destiny every day for stuff. And, you know, the devil will... And this isn't about hell or heaven. I'm not even preaching to you about that. I am preaching about what you're going to carry, the crowns you're going to have when you get to heaven. I want y'all to have tons of crowns to throw before the king. I want to see you just right up there on the front row, right up there on the front row with Jesus, you know. And I don't know how all that's going to work, but, man, what could be more? But yet, you know, as human beings, at least, Did anybody have trouble in school besides me, or anybody have focus problems? Okay. Did anybody? Okay. Monday morning, you get this revelation that the 6-week period. Well, it used to be 6 weeks. Now it's, I don't know what it is now. But anyway, it used to be six. Was it six weeks? I see why they changed it. You come in on Monday and you think, you know what? I get my report card Friday. I better straighten up. But you know what? Everything was already written in the book, right? So your only option was to find the teacher's grade book and start changing their grades. That's the only way you could beat that rap. Don't do that. It's probably all on computer now anyway. But the point is we procrastinate because we always think there's going to be more time, right? And we let our lives get cluttered. And I notice there's a lot of people. I know y'all have been cleaning out your closets and stuff. And I really know we need to, because you ever looked in your closet and you're looking for something to wear and you start trying on stuff that you know won't work, and you try it on, it's sloppy big or it's tight, and instead of taking it over to a Goodwill pile, I just hang it back up in the closet, you know, and I'll do the same thing next week. I know y'all don't do that. It's like, why? You know, why? It didn't work last week. Why is it going to work this week? And you know, it's the same with the kingdom of God. You can't make it work. If God wants to throw it out, it needs to be thrown out, right? If in doubt, cast it out. Okay. I'm going to be quick because it's a beautiful day out there and I want to go riding. I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to be real carnal. We're going to lead lots of people to Jesus today on that motorcycle. That's what I'm believing for. I mean, it's a motorcycle. God has that food. So it's appointed for men to die once. And you agree we have a limited amount of time, right? And it says right after that, it says, after this, what? The judgment. And we always, I think mostly you'll use that as an evangelistic tool, but really, if you think about it, for a believer, I'm not too concerned with getting to go to heaven. I really believe, I mean, I may be able to do things to keep from going to heaven. I'm not saying you couldn't do something. I don't believe that's a question anymore. And I know John Belt really laid that grace out really good the other night. And I think some people struggle with condemnation and shame, and they can't let their past go. Man, you've got to let your past go because Jesus did. But it's what you're doing now. It makes all the difference because it's appointed for a man once to physically die and then the judgment. And for me, it's not going to be the judgment, the great white throne judgment. Praise God. Because it says that everybody will give an account for everything they've done in life. And everything will be weighed out. But for me, mine's under the blood, praise the Lord. Your sins are under the blood of Jesus. But there will be a bema seat. There will be a judgment seat for believers. What will you be judged for? You'll be judged with what you did with your gifts. You'll be judged for what you did with your opportunities. Why do you think it says to believers? And this to me is what I believe it says. But it says that he will wipe away every tear. Why would I be crying in heaven? I'd be regretting what I could have done for Jesus. And possibly I get a glimpse of souls that are being cast into a pitiless hell because maybe, you know, I wouldn't be so arrogant to think that I could have changed their death, but I could have sowed a seed. I could have just spoke, man. And I'm going to move on because I got a lot here, but God has... You have a destiny appointed to you by God, and it's a real good one. You have a that's redneck. You have a destiny appointed to you by God, and it's a real good one. Amen. Would you agree with that? It's a real good one, but it don't feel like it, Pastor. You don't go by feelings, but maybe you're not on the right track. Maybe you're working in a job that you hate and you weren't built to do. Praise the Lord. I was just thinking in the Bible of people that had a real, real, real good destiny. And I thought of the very first couple in the Bible that had a real, 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 real good destiny was who? Adam and Eve. They had a real good destiny. What was their destiny? Let's see. Be fruitful and multiply. That don't sound too bad. Tend the garden. There's not going to be no briars or thorns. You're not going to need no Roundup. You're not going to need a hoe. You just go out and pick the fruit, and, you know, you might trim the trees or something, but you weren't going to be plagued with poison snakes and poison animals and carnivorous animals, and you were going to live forever, and there was going to be great joy, and there was water flowing. There wasn't no pain or suffering. And every evening, probably all the time, you took hands and you walked with God in the cool of the night. Yeah, think about it. Their destiny was so cool. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, why in the world? The world, that's the thing, right? Why would you trade a knowledge to know what evil is and good is? Why would you trade that for your destiny? Because he's the deceiver. He don't play fair. And you're going to be tempted all of your time here on earth. You're going to be tempted to go the wrong way. And even as a believer, if he knows he cannot put you in hell, you know what? He's going to do everything he can because he knows you. And we've said this many times, but Glenna, he knows your destiny. Polly, he knows your destiny, and he trembles. He trembles. He trembles because he knows if any believer's destiny is fulfilled, his kingdom gets plundered. And that's just the truth. I mean plundered. Tore apart. Rich man and Lazarus, they both had a real good destiny. Did Just think the food pantry the rich guy could have had. He could have fed a lot of people with the scraps and the leftovers of the abundance that God had given him, couldn't he? But he pulled it all into himself, see? And that's a tempting thing about food pantry. You can't ever get that mindset. And I know it's easy to do, but you got to get the mindset as you give out as God gives in. Because if you get this mindset, well, we're going to save it, we're going to hoard it, we're going to save it for a rainy day, you know what? The flow will stop. It's just like giving to God. If you give to God, He'll give unto you. Pressed down, shaken together. But if you cut off the source, so the rich man and Lazarus, and you know the story, so I'm not, but you know what their destiny was good, but you know the rich man's, what actually happened to him is he ended up in hell. Ananias and Sapphira had a real good destiny. This was after Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And for the love of men's praises, they traded their destiny for sudden death. Bam. I mean, I don't know their eternity, but I know that they got taken out of the race quickly and swiftly. And that's the thing that I believe we've been calling for: revival, revival, signs and wonders and miracles, revival. And I'm all for that, man, but you know what? I feel like when that power and that presence is in the church like that, where dead people are raised, I also believe the judgment of God will be swift to His own house. He's not going to allow that to happen in the glory. I really don't believe that. Well, He didn't in Acts anyway. Okay. It's your choice, though, basically, isn't it? I'm going to read you Deuteronomy 30, starting at verse 11, if you want to read along. Y'all okay? Verse 11, y'all got it? This commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you. So these people didn't even have the Holy Ghost, okay? This commandment is not mysterious for you. It's not far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will send to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word, listen, the word, and this is for all of us here today, the word is very, what? Very near you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart, so that you can do it. The word's not far away, Greg. It's not way off in the distance somewhere, man. It's not coming up the highway. It's not like, oh, the wind of God's presence is coming. No, He lives within you. He's in you, He's in your heart, He's in your spirit. He will direct your thoughts, He will direct your deeds, He'll direct everything if you just allow Him to. That's all He wants. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God. We don't live under the law anymore, do we? Do we? We don't live under the law, but do you think that God would have told somebody living under the law to do something that was not doable? How much more can somebody that we claim to be spirit-filled. If we're spirit-filled, then we should be able to follow the precepts of God. Would you agree? Is that too hard to say? Should we be able to do what God chose us to do? I think so. To walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and you are drawn away and you worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you will surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your... This isn't only for you. It's for your children. It's for your grandchildren. What you do don't stop with you. It don't. And praise God, they can have the curse broken off of us. Praise God, we can break generational curses. Praise the Lord. All my aunts and uncles on one side was alcoholics. Probably because we got Indian blood in us, maybe. I don't know, excuse. But all of them. And I was well on my way to being one. Well, I'd say I was one. But God cut that off. He cut that curse off of me because I asked him to. I said, God, I want you more than I want that. Much as I like that. Praise God. And not only did he do that, he gave me something that made me feel even better physically. Right? Praise the Lord. He's good, isn't he? He's good, isn't he? Yes, all the time. Praise the Lord. You may love the Lord your God that you may obey his voice. You may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. So if we cling to the Lord, he is the reason we live a long life. He is the reason, maybe he's the reason we get taken out, the 16-year-old girl. I heard just got killed on a, somebody said that, did your son was good friends with this girl, right? But she knew Jesus, right? Her family raised her that way anyhow. And Donna, I know she's had several friends at work, and it's like, you know, why would a good God allow this to happen? And it's always like, why do you blame God for death? When it says right here that he came to give life and life more, but why do you always blame God with death? But every now and then, this is my own personal, don't persecute me for this, but every now and then I think people get taken out before they cross. They're fixing to slide hard and long, man. And sometimes I think God in his wisdom and his mercy, you know, I would want to be taken out if I knew I was getting ready to just completely walk away from God. I would want to be taken out. God, you hear me. That's a good thing. I'll take that. That's just Mark. So you do what you want to do with that. But you may love the Lord your God that you may obey his voice and you may cling to him, for he is your life and length of your days. You may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, every one of y'all in here, you have a mission. You have an appointment with God's destiny for you. And I wrote this down. I thought this was kind of cool. If you're not divinely appointed, you are disappointed. That's true, isn't it? What's disappoint mean? What's dis mean? I'm going to diss you, right? What's it mean? What's that in front of appointed mean? Well, your appointment has been canceled. Yeah, that's good. Your appointment's been canceled that you, yeah, that's a real good one. And it's been canceled because of you. We always want to blame somebody else for it, but really, it comes down to you. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not the church's fault. You know, sometimes you're hooked up where you don't need to be hooked up, but we can't put that one on anybody, can we? Okay, real quick, appointed to what? I'm just going to read this real quick. Mark 3:13, he went up on the mountain. He called to him those he himself wanted, right? Jesus called those that he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach, to have power, to heal sickness, and to cast out demons. Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." Now, here's a question. Would you say that the disciples were appointed? Well, it said right there, they were appointed. What were they appointed to do? Serve, cast out devils, preach the gospel. What about the 70? They were a little lesser than the, you know, on the who's who list. They were like a notch, not really in God's kingdom, but the 70, what were they appointed to do? Yes, same, basically, and to go out and lay hands on sick folks. And what does it say there? I just read it. Well, preach the gospel, yeah. I send you out as lambs among wolves. Now, here's a question for us, not you, us. Were the 12 or the 70 any more appointed than you are? No, I want you to answer that question. Was the 12 more appointed than you are? Do you really believe that? That was what I'm saying, because obviously, we don't have the book of Laura in the Bible. Not yet, anyway. It's in Acts. Acts is ongoing, right? So you're saying that we're all appointed as much as... Were we appointed as much as the disciples? Were we appointed as much as Mary that ran to the grave and said, "Oh, he's risen"? Were we? You're right. It says in John, when he goes to the Father, we'll do even greater works than he did. Okay, so we agree you're appointed. You're appointed as much as the early church. You're appointed as much. See, and that's where that theology gets in, and we don't do that. We don't do those things anymore because it's not here anymore. That was for whatever reason. Okay, you agree that you're appointed. Greg, you're as appointed as Mark was, or Peter was. You agree? Did he give them more power? Do you have the same tools that they had? Really? Is that true? Yes. Each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit. That's right. And we've got Mark 16, but we just really don't believe it. There's places where they really believe that because their whole life depends on it. But that's what God wants us to get. Our life depends on it. The church depends on it. The kingdom of God depends on it. Mark 16, hey, it's on our card when we used to have cards. Going to all the world. The Baptists love this. I love Baptists. Wasn't for Baptists, I wouldn't be here this morning. They're very evangelistic. They prayed for me and believed for me to come in. They just didn't want me to get tongues and stuff and get messed up and full of the devil. But they wanted me to come in. No, really, I love Baptists, man. But they cut it off with going to all the world and preach the gospel. That's where it stops. Because those sign gifts were only given to make the church prosper and believe in Jesus. And no, it says those who believe, and y'all know this, will cast out devils, speak in new tongues. If a poison spider bites you, it won't harm you, right? If you're given deadly poison, it won't hurt you. It don't mean you drink it. It don't mean you pick up rattlesnakes and shake them. You can if you want. I don't want to see it, you know? I knew a guy at work, a friend of his, he lived by faith. And I'm not telling you, sometimes I think you can do foolish things, maybe. Maybe that's where my faith is. Maybe it's not foolish at all. But he lived in West End. He lived in Portland. Never locked his doors, left the door open, just the screen door unlocked and stuff. You know, I'm like, whoa, is that tempting? I don't know. But one time, it was Jesus Movement. He was at this party, and he was trying to win people to Jesus. Somebody put 3 purple micro dots in his drink. I mean, he was drinking Coke or, you know, water or something, which if you don't know what that is, that's pretty heavy LSD, which would send you into a trip that would probably last for a week. I don't know. Maybe never come out. You know what? No effect whatsoever. And then people are sitting there going, when's he going to start tripping? When's he going to start? And he got to lead people to the Lord because of that, because he'd been given deadly poison, and it didn't bother him. I'm not saying you invite things like that. I'm just saying God will, when you're about his work and doing his mission, he's going to take care of you. Or like them 12 guys on the beach, you know, that got their throats slit and their heads cut off. Hey, you know what? They're cool. They got a martyr's crown. I mean, just for that act, and I'm not lessening what they went through, but you know what? Just for that act of losing your head, you get a martyr's crown. So, and I think Dave Hogan, the guy that's coming here in November, he said, I will be a martyr. Didn't he say that? He said, I will. He said, time will prove me right. So, you may get to see a guy that's, anyway. Might be us, huh? Okay, what I'd like y'all to do, could we just make a real effort? Could we make a real effort this week to keep our appointment with God's destiny for us? Could we do that? Isn't it about time we started focusing on what's fluff and what's reality and what's just stuff? You know, isn't it about time we started building in the kingdom of God? And I know a lot of y'all are. This is no condemnation at all, but I know we could all get closer. So if y'all can write this down, here's what I'd like you to do. This is homework, and it's simple, it's easy. The only reason I'm picking these things is so we can all be in one accord about it, okay? We can all be doing the same thing. There'll be unity in it. Every morning, I would just like you, and probably some of y'all have this to memory, but I'd like you to out loud read Psalm 1. And if you got children, read Psalm 1 with them. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's the paths, 2 paths, it's 2 destinies. If you'll read that, you'll really get a picture of what 2 destinies are. And it's real short, it's only 5-6 verses, I don't know, it's not much. Okay, everybody stand up. Got a couple more things. And y'all laugh at me, because I've got this thing, I like, sometimes I go back to old school. Old school little praise courses, because I think they're so strong because they've got the Word of God in them and they're repeated. But y'all sing with me, This Is the Day. It's a powerful song. And if you know, listen, and I know you're smiling, but you know what? If you will greet the morning, no matter how bad you feel, no matter how bad you don't want to get out of bed, if you will greet the morning with a praise to the King, that truly this is the day that the Lord has made. And it says, you notice it says, I will. It's your will. It's got to be engaged. You got to sing this song when you get out of bed. Your will's got to be engaged because your body don't feel like it generally. Huh. And we'll teach you this song. Come on, y'all can clap. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Praise the Lord. Help. I got a Baptist one I want to do. Okay? There's two. This is the day and victory in Jesus. Because you're declaring and decreeing victory in Jesus. And it's, like I say, oh, that's just a, no, that's a powerful, powerful tune. If I can remember the words. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. Praise God! He loved me ere I knew him, and all my is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Well, it's a declaration of what Jesus did for you. And it's a declaration there's victory in that. Amen? We're not defeated. Amen. One more thing. Father Abraham. No, no. Y'all declare and decree this. I know John Bell talked the other night about declaring and decreeing, but this is with foundation, okay? Say this, God has an appointment and a destiny for me, and it's a good one, and I will not miss it for this world. Man, if you'll just say that and grab onto that and believe that and decree that, say it several times. Did y'all get it, or you want me to say it where you can write it down? Or y'all got a good enough memory to remember all that? Want me to say it? Good. I'm glad you're asking because everybody else is going to forget by the time they walk out the door. And they're going to be in trouble. What are we going to do? What's the first song we're going to do? Well, first, we're going to do what? Psalm 1 out loud. What's the second one? We're going to sing, this is the day the Lord, and we're going to do it with a smile on our face. This is the day. No, you don't have to do that. You can frown. Victory in Jesus. And declare and decree, y'all can write this down, I go slow. God has an appointment. God has an appointment and a destiny for me. Be sure to say for me. And it's a good one. Am I going too fast? And I will not miss it for the world. Now, if you need a, can you put some music on, please, Maestro? If you could just, if I was you, I would just come up here, just you and Jesus, and seal it. Just seal that and decree and declare that I'm going to get back on track with my destiny. I've been beat up. I've been pushed down. I've had circumstances that's hurt me. People have wounded me. And I didn't mind, you know, I didn't mind those people wounded me that was heathens. But boy, when the children of God wound you, it's a whole different thing. You need to put that aside and know that they cannot They can badmouth you, they can do you wrong, but they cannot have your destiny unless you allow it. You cannot allow that. You cannot allow that, because the whole kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent what? Take it by force. So when you make a decree and you come to the altar and you lay down something or you pick up something that God wants, you are making a decree, and that's a violent thing when you come to the altar. You're doing violence against the enemy. You're kicking his teeth when you come to an altar. Did you know that? Well, I did. So Jesus, I just pray. And Lord, first off, guys, I want you to know that I was not whooping on you. I want to see you rise. I want to see you. See, you guys are the ones that's going to fill this place up. You guys are the ones that are going to go out in the world, your workplace, the grocery store, wherever you go, the kingdom of God goes with you if you'll allow him to come out of his cage. I'll give you a quick testimony. Even in our most carnal, worldly moments, God can use. Did you know that? And some of y'all heard this the other night, but Don and I decided to do something really carnal and worldly the other night. We decided to go on a date. I don't guess that's carnal or worldly.
Eating dinner
is pretty, you got to eat dinner, but we decided to go on a motorcycle, which that's pretty, you know. You could have went in the car, but why would you on a nice night? So we went to this place called the Big Four Burgers, and Jeff, I don't know if y'all ever, pretty decent. Well, there was only like four or five people in there. Oh, okay. There was only four or five people in there, and the waitress, we just got to talking to her, and she said, "You're on a bike?" It's like, "Yeah, we're on a bike." And she said, "Well, I ride too." I said, "Well, what do you ride?" And she said, "A Hayabusa." I'm like, "That's one of those crotch rockets that go 200 miles an hour." She said, "Yeah, I was with my boyfriend a couple of weeks ago, and he's got one that we put $15,000 in. It's got three nitrous switches on it, and we traded bikes so I could ride his on the way home." They were with a pack of people. She said, "He didn't tell me the nitrous switches were on, because I'd ask her, how fast have you ever been on a motorcycle?" She said, "I got up, before I knew it, to 225 miles an hour. I said, "I got to shake your hand. I've never touched nobody that went 225 miles an hour. And she was kind of hard, but not, I don't mean that in a bad way. You could just tell she'd been hurt probably a lot. And we just chit-chatted. There wasn't nothing. We talked a lot, because usually your waitress is busy going here, there, and everywhere. So we just kind of built a relationship, you know. And then it was time to check out. And gave her a tip. Always remember, if you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, don't stiff them on the tip. You know, don't do that, man. That's not a good witness. But anyway, I said, "Can we pray for you? Do you need prayer for anything?" And she goes, "Well, yeah, everybody needs prayer." Of course, that's a standard answer. I said, "You need prayer for something specifically." And she said, "Yeah, my boyfriend of 10 years ran around on me, and we busted up a week ago, and I need prayer for that." Just dried and just as hard, had her face, her jaw set. And so I don't remember what we prayed, but we prayed the Holy Spirit, and Donna prayed, and I prayed. And I looked across the counter, and she's weeping. I'm like, "Oh, my God." The Holy Spirit just reached out and touched this girl. And she came out from behind there, and she gave me this huge daddy-type hug. And she gave Donna a hug. She said, "Thank y'all so much." And, of course, then I went into the four spiritual laws. No, it was, that's all. That was a seed he wanted planted. You know, that she needed to know that God loves her and Christians love her. See, and you'll run into this all the time, and God's going to use you to see incredible things happen. So I know this is a group of pioneer people that really want to see really want to see God's kingdom advance. So I bless you. And like I say, if you want to come to the altar and spend a few minutes, fine. If not, fine. If you need prayer for anything, please come up and receive prayer. And Chuck and Melissa, won't you come up here? If you don't mind. And I recognize that they operate in the prophetic a lot. So if you'd like to have them pray for you, please let, you know, and I know a lot of y'all do, but that's just what God wants to do today. Come up and receive. If you're sick, don't leave sick, okay? Don't leave here sick if you're sick. God loves you and has a great plan for your life. And what's Joanne say? And Satan's a liar and his feet stink.